Today is a special day, a special Sunday, and in which we recognize all of our students that have either graduated high school or college or even law school today. We get to celebrate one that has graduated law school. We get to celebrate our promotees from moving from the first to the second, or the second to the third, or from elementary school to junior high, or from junior high to high school. It's just real exciting time in life for all of our students today. Saints, you have a sermon. Hello? You don't want to hear me, Terrence? It's my husband in the booth back there. So Saints, you all have a sermon outline to follow along with me in your bulletins this morning. And what is the title of today's message? Can you pass the test? Let us begin in prayer. Gracious God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this day in which we can celebrate and give you praise for all of us, your students and your children. We thank you, Lord, that you have taught us with your word and you have guided us with your Holy Spirit power. We pray that you will open our minds and hearts to receive what you have for us to learn this day. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. I believe our nursery has just gone out. But if you had one that is in the nursery, Whitney is taking the little ones out. And our youth worship young people will stay in honor of graduation, promotion Sunday. So, Saints, my first question to you today is, if you were to think back over your life and you had to write down on a sheet of paper, like the sheet of paper in front of you, a list of the most exciting moments of your life, what would you write down on your list? Would you write down the birth of your child? Anybody would write down the birth of their child? Okay. Would you write down meeting a very good friend for the very first time? Who remembers meeting your fifth grade best friend or your sixth grade best friend? Would you write down learning to drive? I know that would be in my top 10. Maybe you would write down on your list falling in love and meeting your husband and wife. Anybody? Hopefully, Terrence, I didn't see. Okay, I was looking. I want to make sure he put both hands up. Many of us will write down a variety of items on our list, Saints, but I think if I had to write down anything on my list, it would be that I would write the night before every first day of school. The night before every first day. And that may seem kind of strange, but if you think about it, most kids, the night before their first day of school, they are so excited that they can't even go to sleep. Casey, hallelujah, how many nights did we stay up? My sister and I are twins. We shared the same room until we were, until we moved out my mama's house, I think. But we stayed up the whole night talking every night before that first day of school. We would wonder what it would be like to go to school, as all students do. We would always ask questions, what are our teachers going to be like? What will be the friends that we will meet? And most of all, I think we were just excited because we might have had a new pair of shoes or some new clothes to wear or some school supplies to take to school. So most of us as students, we remember that we were excited about that first day of school and we could not go to sleep. And most of us would stay up all night and then we would get up early, get dressed real fast and wait and say, Mommy, is it time to go to school yet? Is it time to go to school yet? That is the one day of the year where everybody's guaranteed to be in school on time. You know, it may seem odd to list going to school as one of the exciting moments in our lives, but school has been a big part of every one of our lives, Saints, every single one of us. You see, what I realize is that for all of us to be where we are at in our lives today, all of us, every single one of us, had to have our first day of kindergarten. Does not matter if you graduated high school, does not matter if you graduated college or any graduate program, every single one of us hit the door of kindergarten. And before we could move on from kindergarten, we had to prove that we could at least say our ABCs, our 1, 2, 3s, and name blue, yellow, green, red, white, and black. You see, Saints, in order to move from one level to the next level, many of us have had to endure many, 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 many tests. How many of us took a lot of tests in life? We've taken spelling tests. We've taken math tests. We've taken reading and writing tests. We took tests to learn how to drive. We took tests to learn to get our jobs. We took tests, some of us, in order to even get into college. We have taken medical health screening tests. How many of us have had to take kidney tests or test our sugar levels or test our eyes, test our hearing? We take tests from the moment that we are born, if you think about it. They draw blood from the babies and they test. And then we take tests all the way up, even when we die. They put a thing to your chest, what's that called, a stethoscope to your chest, and listen and test your heart to see if it's working. And if it's not, they say, well, sorry, saints, they've gone on. So why do we take so many tests in our lives? There are many reasons, saints, but I want to share two of them with us today. The number one is proof, and the number two is ability. We take tests, saints, number one, to prove that we know something. We take tests to show proof of something. Would you go today, if you knew you had a heart issue, would you go to see a cardiologist? That's a heart doctor for our younger people. Would you go to see a heart doctor if you knew that heart doctor did not know the parts of the heart? No. Would you say, I'm so glad we have lawyers in our midst. Would you go to a lawyer who had never, ever opened up a law book? No. Would you go to a restaurant and sit before a chef who did not know the difference between sugar and salt? No. Those are just some simple ways of knowing. So tests provide proof that we actually know something, number one. Number two is tests also give us the ability to do the things that we want to do. You know, if you look in our bulletin, our students are listed in there with all of their awards, their honors, everything that they've done this past year. And if you look carefully by Kalita Sims, our new next lawyer, she has on there, please pray for me, I'm going to take the bar exam. And when I read that, it made me think, you can go to high school and be a straight A student. You can go to college, be a straight A student. You can get into law school and pass with straight flying colors. But if you do not pass that bar exam, it doesn't matter how good you are, you will not be a lawyer. You cannot move on to the next level of actually being a lawyer until you pass that bar exam. So let's provide Kalita with answered prayers by praying for her to pass that bar. You see, saints, as frustrating as tests can be, tests are necessary in our lives because they do show most of the time what we know. Now, I know that there are going to be those among you that says tests are not all equal. How many of us feel that way? Tests are not all equal. Every test does not show what we know, and I do agree with that. However, there are some tests that we must pass in order to move to the next level. I'm sorry, saints, but I just don't want you on the road if you never pass your driver's license test. I care that you can't get from point A to point B, but until you take that exam, I really don't want to be on the road with you. Take the exam and pass it. So in order to move from the one level to the next level, there are tests that we must take. You know, our young people often talk about these OGT, the Ohio Graduation Test exams. And they complain about them, but what I like about these exams, saints, is that you can keep taking the test until you pass the test. They never give up on you. And you see, saints, schools thought they had got rid of religion, but Christ had this rule a long time ago. You see, he keeps allowing us to take the test until we pass the test. You see, you may be sitting there thinking, what kind of test would Christ give me? But just like we take tests in our educational sphere of life, we also take tests in our spiritual realm of life. And with Christ, as long as we are alive, say alive, that's the point. As long as we are alive and breathing, we will never fail the test. Why not, saints? Well, just like I said, because Christ keeps letting us take the test again and again until we pass the test. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, with Christ, you can keep taking the test. Amen. So what are these spiritual tests that Christ gives us? You may be thinking, I never saw Jesus send me down some kind of paper test. Was it on the internet, Pastor Kelly? Because I may have missed it. But God gives us tests all throughout our lives, saints. And once we pass one test and move to the next level, we begin again with a new test. Isn't that amazing? You see, saints, many people may think, why am I stuck in this one place in my life? Why haven't I moved to the next level? Well, it's real simple. We have not passed the test. Ever said to yourself, why does it seem like I keep ending up in this same situation? Why do I keep having this same argument with you 10 years later, amen? Why do I still have these same type of relationship problems? Why am I struggling still with this same issue on my job or with my kids or with my friends? Well, saints, when we say that, the reality is we have not passed the spiritual test. So again, what are these tests? And I really want to take them, right, so we can pass. Well, I'm going to tell us about two tests today. There are many, many tests that God gives us, but we just don't have that much time to talk about all these tests today. So I'm going to speak about two of those tests. And we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph to see these tests, saints. But if we look just at the life of Joseph from our Old Testament scripture reading, we will see, saints, that there are at least two tests that we have to pass in order to go to the next level, saints. Two tests. So what are these tests? The first test is the test of pride. The pride test. You see, when we look at Joseph's life, we all know Joseph had a little bit of pride. And you say, you know, pride, why is that a test in my life? Well, pride is this ugly sin, saints, that keeps revealing itself in our lives over and over again, no matter what age we become. And until we deal with the pride issue, we cannot go to the next level. And you see, saints, we don't realize it, but pride starts when we are very, very young. Look at this scripture and read this with me from Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks, his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Look at this section. Joseph is all of 17 years old, it tells us, and he decides he's going to go check on his brothers who would be grown. Remember, the scripture said that Joseph was born in his father's older years. That means his brothers are fully grown men. So here he is, the 17-year-old who's going to examine his brothers' lives, his grown brothers' lives. And he brings back to his father a bad report. Isn't he something special? But isn't that someone like us that we can always point out the bad that everybody else is doing? We can stand back and say, did you see what they was doing over there? Did you see how they was walking today? Did you hear how they talked today? We can say the most mean things about people, and we always think that we are the right ones to make that comment about somebody else's lives. When most of the time, saints, we are making comments, and we really don't know much at all. Pride shows up at every single age. Does not matter if we are older, younger, doesn't matter if we are men or women. Pride has this ugly way of trying to tell everybody else in the room how you should or should not do something. Amen. And guess what, saints? None of us knows everything. Stand up if you think you know everything, because we all want to see. Don't you stand up, Glenn. None of us know everything. As much as we think we know everything, we do not know everything. And all of us are dependent upon Jesus Christ, who is truly knowledgeable about every subject. Saints, if we truly want to know the answer to any question, all we got to do is lift this up right here. We need not be going around talking about, well, my opinion is, well, I think this. We don't need to do all of that. All we need to say is, God's opinion is, and God said this for us to know. So, saints, how do we pass this test of pride? How do we pass the pride test? Well, there are three ways. Number one, close our mouths. Look at the book of James. Our tongue always gets us in trouble. Number one, close our eyes. Number two, open our ears. We all can learn something from each other. Us that are older can learn something from those that are younger. Those of you that are younger, you can definitely learn something from us that are older. So we close our mouths, open our ears, and we bring in number three, a dose of humility. A dose of humility. We can all take a good lesson from Alcoholics Anonymous. You know how you have to go when you go to AA. The first step they teach you to healing is to admit that you are an alcoholic. You have to get up there and say, my name is Kelly, and I'm an alcoholic. Even though that's not true, but I'm, you know, just for camera purposes. Well, the first step in passing the pride test is admitting that we don't know. We need to say, my name is Kelly, and I don't know. Say it with me. I don't know. I don't know. We don't know everything. Admitting that we don't know some things can really change a lot of things in our families. Starting with some humility and saying, you know what? All of us have good ideas. All of us have something to offer and bring to the table can transform the lives of all of us if we realize that we all have some special gift to offer in the body of Christ. All of us are needed, and none of us know all of that we need to know. So the pride test is one test that we can all pass. So what is the second test that I'm going to talk to us about today? It's called the test of the pit. What is the test of the pit? Well, let's look again at Joseph's life. Joseph was a young man. He was given this beautiful dream, these beautiful dreams, and God showed him, I have an amazing plan for your life. And Joseph got so excited about it, he went and told his family about it. Wouldn't you want to tell somebody if God gave you a wonderful dream? I know I would. I'd be like, you all, guess what God revealed to me about my life? And even though it was a good plan and a good dream, Joseph's pride got in the way, and it didn't come across too well. You ever had that problem where things just don't come across? You want to say it the right way, but no matter how you say it, it just don't come out right. Well, Joseph had that problem where he wanted to say it right, but it didn't come out too well. And so when he told about his wonderful dream, his brothers became angry, and they decided to throw him in a pit. They threw him down in the pit. He was in this great big old hole down in the ground. There was no ladder for him to climb up. There was no string for him to reach up and pull up and get himself out of that pit. It was dark. It was lonely. There was no food, no bathroom. I always think about that. Sometimes you're in a situation you can't even get to a bathroom. He was in a pit. So the test of the pit is believing that God can bring you out of any and every situation, even when there doesn't seem to be a way out. Some of us have problems with the pit test. Because we try to figure out how we're going to get ourselves out of the pit. And we never stop to ask God, God, how are you going to get me out of this pit? I was doing a lot of reading while I was on vacation, and this author told a joke. And he spoke of a man that was walking home from work. And this man decided, I'm going to take a shortcut through the cemetery. Not a good idea, Saints. But he took a shortcut through the cemetery. It was late at night. He couldn't see. He fell into an open grave. So he tried everything possible to get out of that grave. He tried to jump. He tried to climb through the walls. He could not get out. So when he finally realized that there was nothing that he could do, he sat down and decided to wait. Well, unbeknownst to him, another man decided to take a shortcut through the same cemetery. And this same man fell into the same pit. And the second man tried everything he could to get out of this pit. He was screaming and yelling, trying to climb out. Well, the first man got up and tapped the second man on the shoulder and said, sorry, there's no way out. All of a sudden, the first man was looking up because the second man figured out him a way out of that pit. God always provides a way out. Doesn't matter if he brings somebody along to help you out or you find the Holy Spirit power to get yourself out, God will always provide a way out. I know, Saints, right now that there are many that you may look back upon your life, because when students are graduating and they're promoting, that's always a time when we reflect back over our lives. And you may think, what happened? How did my life get to this point? My life was not supposed to be like this. We all remember that promise that was made to us in the book of Jeremiah, where God said, I promise to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. But then sometimes when we look at our lives, we think, wow, this was my hope and my future, Lord. I'm sure that many of us are like Joseph, and we find ourselves in a pit in our lives. You see, after Joseph got put into that pit, he was then in turn sold into slavery in Egypt. Then he was put into prison. So his life just kept getting worse, and the pit got deeper and deeper. And Joseph must have stood there and thought, this is the plan? What happened to that beautiful dream you showed me with people bowing down to me, and now I'm in prison? You see, Joseph had to pass the pit test. Let's read Philippians 1 through 6 to show us how to pass the pit test. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has been faithful to us will be faithful to complete the work that he has begun in us. I love that old song. It says, Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide us to the day he comes. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. You see, Saints, many of us know, but some of us don't know, that no matter how deep, how dark, how lonely that our pits can be, we can all pass the pit test. How do we pass the pit test? Number one, we have got to believe that there is a God that has made a promise to us to deliver us, to never leave us nor forsake us. Also, number two is being confident that Jesus will deliver us. You see, sometimes we kind of shaky. We say, oh, I think God will. I think God will. But God says, I will complete the work that I begin in you. He doesn't say, I think I might complete the work. He says, I will complete the work that I began in you. So confidence is our number two way of passing the pit test. You see, Jesus himself was in the pit. In our New Scripture Testament reading, we have Jesus being tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. He was in the wilderness, he was hungry, and he was tired. Two things I don't like being, hungry and tired. And we can also add that he probably was lonely. And here comes Satan just jeering him. Isn't that interesting how when you're down in life, people just come along and add a little extra jeer to you, just push those buttons a little bit harder. You're tired, you're hungry, you're lonely, you're frustrated, and here comes somebody with their pride telling you how to live your life. And here we have Jesus in the wilderness, and Satan is telling him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, and here Jesus, he's just sitting there listening to this horrible person, Satan, tell him all these horrible things. And Jesus could have easily showed some pride. He could have said, do you know who I am? Do you know that I have the power to bring down the heavens on you right now? But Jesus didn't say any of that. He pushed down that pride, which was teaching us an example of what we are to do when pride is rearing its ugly head and people are in our lives confronting us and we're in a pit. And Jesus just kept listening to all that he was saying. And he responded with gentleness and kindness and not with frustration. You see, saints, when we're in the deepest, darkest pit, when we're in the wilderness like Jesus Christ, when we are down so deep, it is only God that we can look up to for our salvation. Only God. You see, saints, as I said before, when we're wondering, why aren't we moving in life? Why can't I hear Jesus? Why am I not going to a deeper level in my spiritual walk? It's because we're not passing the test. We're stuck in a pit, looking around in the darkness, wondering how we're going to get out of here. But you see, saints, as I close this, I want us to know that all these tests that we're taking in our lives have purpose. We're not taking these tests without any real meaning behind them. As I said earlier, these tests prove what we know. Ever heard that comment, show what you know? Well, these tests prove what we know, and they're preparing us for the final test that all of us will have to take. You see, when we pass the pride test, when we pass the pit test and all the other tests that God has us taking right now in our lives, it's preparing us for the final test that we all will have to take. And you may be thinking, well, what's that final test? Well, saints, one day we will all be standing before God. Doesn't matter if we're a certain color, a gender, or an age. Doesn't matter if we're even of a certain religion. All of us will stand before God, and at that moment, we will be given the most important exam that we will ever take. We won't have any paper or pencil. We will get one answer. We don't get any retakes or any do-overs. God will look down at us, and he will say, I gave you enough tests in your life to prepare you for standing before me right now. And God will look at you and say to you, when you were on earth, while you were living, remember when I said alive? While you were living, you had to choose who was Lord over your life. You had the choice of me, Jesus Christ, or you had the choice of those others like Muhammad and Buddha, the Dalai Lama. You could even choose yourself to be your own God, materialism, money, or you could choose not to believe anything at all. God will also say to you, there is no all of the above on this test. And then God will say, please tell me, while you were living, who did you choose? And you can stand there looking around heaven for some help. Because that's how some people going to be. They're going to be up in heaven looking around for some help. And depending on your answer, you will hear one of two things from God. God will say, you got an A. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You have passed the test. The angels will start singing the hallelujah chorus, and you will be welcomed in. Or you can hear the other answer that God will give. The only F that God will ever give once we get to heaven. He will say, you failed the test. you got enough. Depart from me. I never knew you. The choice is yours today, saints. The test is yours to take. Again, my question, will you pass the test? Let us pray. Gracious God, many of us wonder why we are going through so many trials and tribulations. Many of us don't understand why you have us in the place in our lives that we're currently in. But help us to realize that you are trying to move us to the next level. You are testing us to see if we will depend on you, trusting you to see if we will get rid of our pride and say, we don't know how to do this, so we need to look at your word and find out. Testing us to see if when we're in our deepest, darkest moments of despair, if we will look up to the hills from which comes our help. Gracious God, you're preparing us right now to stand before you in all of eternity. Help us this day to decide, whom shall we serve? For as for me and my house, Lord Jesus, we will serve the Lord. We thank you and we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.